reciting this verse, John 8:32, to myself. And ye shall know the truth. And what? The truth shall set you free. And the more I began to recite this verse to myself, I began to put my name in that verse. And Pat shall know the truth. And the truth shall set Pat free. I think I said this before. Whenever you're reading the Bible, wherever you can put your name there. You'd be surprised what it can do for you. Okay? And Pat shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you, shall make Pat free. Another verse that came to my mind was Romans 8:1. Like I said, I knew some scripture. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Notice that the verse uses the term in Christ. In Christ, not with Christ. There is a difference. Very specific. In and not with Christ. What is the difference between the words in and with? Well, if you please, let's use the disciples as a good example. The disciples of Jesus, we know, were constantly with Jesus, right? They went with him wherever he went. They slept with him, ate with him. But how did they act? How did these disciples act? What was their attitude towards each other? Especially when in Matthew chapter 20, one of the mothers has the audacity to go up to Jesus and say, hey, can one of my sons sit on your left side and one on your right? If you were one of the other 10, how would you feel about that? Talk about animosity. Talk about jealousy being built up. And then we have another incident. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus was just transfigured on a mountain, and he is coming down with Peter, James, and John. At the bottom of the mountain, there's a large crowd already that had already formed. And the leaders of the church back then were also there arguing with the disciples, the other 9 disciples that were left down below, while Peter, James, and John went to the mountain with Jesus. And while they come down from this mountain, you remember the story there in Mark chapter 9? A father has a son that's demon-possessed. And he goes to Jesus and says, hey, I went to your disciples, but they couldn't cast the demons out. Now, mind you, the disciples had healed people earlier. But when it came to casting out the demon, they could not do it. Why? Well, again, animosity, jealousy amongst themselves. They're asking, how come we didn't get to go up to the mountain with Jesus? Why only Peter, James, and John? So here again, this ill feeling towards each other has been building up. And unfortunately, when we have these kind of things in our lives, it prevents us from doing all of God's work. So here they are with Jesus, throughout doing all the motions of being a disciple, but not living as a disciple of Jesus. Why? Simply because the disciples were just with Jesus and not in Jesus. Okay? How does this happen? How do I become in Jesus and not just with Jesus? How do I receive the power of the Holy Spirit that will transform me from the inside out so that it will cause me to want to go and share Jesus with someone and also to allow him to change me to be that new creature? In John chapter 1, verse 12 to 13, it reads, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. In the King James, instead of the word right, it uses the word power. But here in the New Living Translation, it uses the word right. He gave the right to become children of God, They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So four things need to take place in order for each one of us to receive the Holy Spirit. Number one, as it says here in the verse, believe. I need to believe in Jesus. Going back to Mark chapter 9 with the father, with the demon-possessed son, you remember when Jesus asked him, do you believe? And the father says what? I believe, but help thou my unbelief. What is the father saying here? I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. I believe it means this. The father saying, I know who you are. I've heard that. I even saw with my own eyes. You saw you healing other people. But because your disciples wasn't able to cast the demons out, I don't know if you can do it. Help me to trust you. Help me to trust you that you are able. So in that cry, help thou mine unbelief. And that's sometimes where we find ourselves. We know that there's this mighty God that we sang about earlier. I sing the mighty power of God. Do we know his power? Have we seen his power? Well, and seeing is not always believing. Okay? There's another way. So that's the first thing that we need to do, is believe. Believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And secondly, I need to accept him to be my Lord and Savior. Individually, I wish it could be as easy as, Pastor, pray for me. Hey, I'm saved. Wouldn't that be nice? Doesn't quite work that way. Each one of us needs to make that individual choice. And that's why the third thing that we need to do is ask. Ask for the Holy Spirit to come into each one of us. And resulting in the fourth thing, being born again, being transformed into his likeness. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 explains it this way. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Notice again the terminology, in Christ, very specific. If any man be in Christ, in order for me to be transformed, in order for me to be the new creature that God wants me to be, I need to be in Christ Jesus. And all the more reason why Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 4, abide where? In me, and I in you. Stay with me, eat with me, live with me, share me, sing about me, everything. As someone said in Sabbath school, Jesus was everything. Jesus is everything. But is he your everything? Is he my everything? So, in fact, in the Seventh-day Adventist commentary, volume 6, it has this quotation. It says, Christianity elevates every human experience and obligation into a new relationship designated by the term in Christ. In Christ. Not just with Christ. In John 14, verses 16 and 17, Jesus said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you. Now listen to this part. Because he lives with you now and later will be in you. What does that mean? Before we met Jesus, the Holy Spirit was with us, trying to persuade us to follow Jesus, trying to help us to be obedient. But after I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, Jesus says what? The Holy Spirit will come in us where it needs to be, so that we can be transformed from the inside out, to be that new creature that Paul mentioned in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, so that all my old habits, whether it be swearing, drinking, eating unclean food, whatever it may be, will be gone. Instead, living a new life with Jesus. So going back to the disciples and how they felt towards one another, I can hear Jesus saying something like this: guys, listen up. It doesn't matter who's going to be on my left or who's going to be on my right. It doesn't matter who comes up to the mountain with me and who gets to stay below. It doesn't matter, because you are all going to receive the same reward, eternal life. But guys, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to take control. Take control so that you will be able to get rid of this animosity amongst yourselves. You know, James and John, the two brothers, when the mom requested one sit on the right and one sit on the left, two brothers were probably arguing amongst themselves, "No, you're on the left, I'm on the right." Been there, done that. I had a brother once. But God, through his son Jesus, has made available to you and I his source of power, so that when we are connected, we will shine the way Jesus wants us to shine. We will be the light that God says he wants us to be. How many of you have ever been to Yosemite National Park? How many of you are young enough to have seen the firefall off of Glacier Point? The coals of fire being pushed over? Yeah, you've seen that. Oh, all right. I wish I could have seen it. Well, for those of you that haven't, back in 1872, there was this guy named James McCauley. He was the then owner of the Glacier Point Hotel that sat on the very top of Glacier Point in Yosemite National Park. And looking for something to entertain the guests one evening, he decided to build a bonfire and set up benches for hotel guests to sit on, and they would share stories with the group. And in trying to get rid of the coals of fire afterwards, he inadvertently pushed the coals of fire over the edge of the cliff, just to get rid of the fire, the coals. Well, what he didn't think about was all the people below, 3,000 feet below Glacier Point. There were visitors, and when they saw the coals of fire falling over the cliff, they were oohing and awing and everything. They were enjoying it. They said, "Wow, this is fantastic." Well, the event stopped for a while, but because of public demand, they started it back up. And it was discontinued every now and then, and then would start back up again. In 1889, Camp Curry was built at the base of Glacier Point. And at the end of the evening events, at 9 p.m. every summer night, the park ranger would shout from Camp Curry up to Glacier Point. And this is the verbal exchange that would take place every night. "Hello, Glacier Point. Hello, Camp Curry. Is the fire ready? The fire is ready. Let the fire fall. The fire falls. And when that was said, workers at the top of Glacier Point, where the big, huge bonfire was burning, they would start pushing the coals of fire over the cliff every summer evening at 9 p.m. Well, it was enjoyed by thousands of people through the years. And in January 25, 1968, it was the last time that the firefall took place and was closed permanently. Permanently for two reasons. Number one, because of the large crowds every evening that came just to see this event, vegetation was being trampled in the park and destroyed. And secondly, and I didn't know this until I read about this, everything you see in a national park is supposed to be natural, not man-made, except for the buildings that they need to operate in. Okay? But everything you see out there in a national park is supposed to be natural. And being that the firefall from Glacier Point was man-made, they said, no more. Okay. However, if you still would like to see the firefall, anyone know about the Horsetail Falls? Have you ever seen that? Okay. Every February, around the middle of February, towards the end of February, you need to make reservations for this because huge crowds gather in Yosemite just to see this event taking place. As the water is flowing over Horsetail Falls, just before sunset, as the sun hits the water and the mist at the right angle, and in the weather conditions are right, it causes the water to look like fire falling over the cliff. You can look it up, there's pictures on it, Google. So if you still want to see the fire falls in Yosemite, look up Horsetail Falls and you'll find it there. And just as the fire fell every night during the summer at 9 p.m. in Yosemite National Park, you and I need to daily, how often? Daily, ask God to let the fire fall upon you, upon me. And as it falls, there's two things that I personally ask God to do for myself. Number one, that the fire will consume every evil desire in me so that I can be his pure dwelling place. Secondly, that the fire will light me up to go and do his will, to live his will. In our last text for today, found in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." Verse 13, "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous of good works." Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Do you believe that? Yeah. How much do you believe that? Do you believe it enough to be one of those special people that we just read about here? One of those special people, zealous of good works. May I suggest that we cannot be amongst that group of special people until we let the fire fall. And I invite you this morning to constantly pray for this to happen daily in each of your lives, my life as well, that the fire of the Holy Spirit will fall upon each one of us. To be his witness. Where? Ola Vista. all of Vista to the ends of the earth. Let the fire fall. Our closing song this morning is hymn number 218, When He Cometh. I invite you to stand with me, if you're able to sing this hymn. As I mentioned earlier, He is coming. And when He comes, something beautiful. Father, it's time to let the fire fall. It's time for your children to go throughout all of Vista to be your witnesses. Help us to do that, Father. Thank you for your promise of your son's soon return. And may that return find each one of us rejoicing in Jesus, in whose name we humbly pray. Amen.
Test, test. Test, test, test.
Are you hearing me? Am I? It's on right now.
Test, 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 test. Nothing.
Go all the way up.
Test, test.